Thank you for being an amazing supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, home to the history of the Caribbeans. We're excited to have you as a valued member of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, comments, and reviews mean so much to us. They help us reach a wider audience and inspire us to keep sharing these incredible stories. With new episodes released daily, your feedback plays a crucial role in shaping our content and making it even better. Your dedication and enthusiasm drive our mission to document and celebrate the rich history of the Caribbean. We're deeply grateful for your support. Today, we're thrilled to present Cuba Episode 3, a captivating story tracing the journey from the island's earliest settlers to the present day. So sit back, relax, and join us as we guide you through this fascinating chapter in Caribbean history. Enjoy the journey. Chapter 9, The Cuban Revolution, 1959 to 1965. Transformation and Turmoil. The Triumph of the Revolution. On January 1, 1959, Fidel Castro and his revolutionary forces entered Havana, marking the culmination of years of guerrilla warfare against the Batista regime. Cubans filled the streets in celebration, believing that the revolution would bring long-awaited social justice and sovereignty. However, in the years that followed, Cuba underwent radical transformations that reshaped every aspect of its society, economy, and global standing. The new government, led by Fidel Castro, Ernesto Che Guevara, and Raul Castro, swiftly took control of the nation, dismantling Batista's corrupt institutions and implementing sweeping reforms. The early days of the revolution were marked by optimism, social change, and a profound shift towards a socialist economic model. The purge of Batista loyalists and political opponents. Upon seizing power, Castro moved swiftly to eliminate remnants of Batista's regime. Trials and executions of Batista officials were carried out in mass public spectacles, alarming international observers, but solidifying support among many Cubans who had suffered under the previous dictatorship. However, Castro's crackdown soon expanded beyond Batista loyalists, targeting suspected counter-revolutionaries, dissenters, and intellectuals who questioned the new regime's direction. Thousands fled Cuba, leading to an early wave of political exiles, many of whom would later settle in the United States, particularly in Miami, Florida. Economic reforms and the nationalization of industry. One of Castro's first major initiatives was the nationalization of key industries, including sugar, tobacco, and utilities. The government seized large estates and businesses, redistributing land and resources under agrarian reform laws. Foreign companies, particularly American-owned businesses, were expropriated without compensation, causing tensions with the United States. Cuba's economic model shifted towards centralized planning, following the Soviet-style approach. The government prioritized literacy, healthcare, and social welfare, drastically reducing unemployment and increasing life expectancy. However, private businesses were systematically dismantled, forcing many skilled professionals to flee the country. The U.S.-Cuba conflict and the embargo. Tensions between the United States and Cuba escalated rapidly following the nationalization of American assets. The U.S. government, under President Dwight D. Eisenhower, imposed an economic embargo on Cuba, cutting off vital trade relations. Washington also banned Cuban sugar imports, severely impacting the island's economy, which was still largely dependent on sugar exports. In April 1961, the United States backed the ill-fated Bay of Pigs invasion, an attempt by Cuban exiles to overthrow Castro. The invasion was a disaster for the U.S., as Cuban forces crushed the attackers within days. The event further solidified Castro's power and led to Cuba formally aligning itself with the Soviet Union, intensifying the Cold War standoff. The Cuban Missile Crisis, 1962. Brink of nuclear war. By 1962, U.S.-Cuba relations had deteriorated to an all-time low. In response to the failed Bay of Pigs invasion and continued U.S. aggression, Castro allowed the Soviet Union to place nuclear missiles on Cuban soil. This led to the infamous Cuban Missile Crisis, a 13-day standoff between the United States and the Soviet Union that brought the world to the brink of nuclear war. After tense negotiations between President John F. Kennedy and Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, the crisis was averted when both sides agreed to remove nuclear missiles, the Soviets from Cuba and the Americans from Turkey. However, the crisis cemented Cuba's role as a major Cold War battleground, and led to increased Soviet economic and military support. The institutionalization of socialism. Following the missile crisis, Cuba fully embraced Marxist-Leninist socialism, formally aligning with the Eastern Bloc. The government implemented widespread reforms, including universal healthcare and education. The literacy rate soared as nationwide education programs were launched. State-controlled economy. Private businesses ceased to exist as the government assumed control over all economic activity. Political repression. Dissidents, writers, and intellectuals who criticized the government were imprisoned or forced into exile. The Committees for the Defense of the Revolution, CDRs, a neighborhood-based surveillance system, was established to monitor and report anti-revolutionary activity. Che Guevara and international revolutionary movements. During this period, Che Guevara played a pivotal role in exporting the Cuban revolutionary model abroad. He spearheaded economic programs, advocated for new socialist man ideology, and promoted global resistance against imperialism. In 1965, Guevara left Cuba to fight in guerrilla movements in Congo and later Bolivia, where he was captured and executed by Bolivian forces in 1967. His death marked the end of an era, but cemented his legacy as a revolutionary martyr. Challenges and opposition to Castro's rule. Despite its successes in literacy and healthcare, the Cuban Revolution faced growing opposition, both internally and externally. Political exiles. Many middle and upper-class Cubans fled the island, forming the anti-Castro Cuban exile community in the U.S. CIA-backed operations. The United States launched several covert attempts to assassinate Castro, all of which failed. Economic difficulties. The shift to a Soviet-style planned economy led to inefficiencies, food shortages, and stagnation. The legacy of the early revolution. By 1965, Cuba had firmly established itself as a socialist state with a powerful central government. Castro's leadership was unchallenged, and the revolution's ideals had been institutionalized into every aspect of Cuban life. However, the island remained heavily reliant on Soviet aid, setting the stage for future economic struggles once the USSR collapsed. The impact of these formative years continues to shape modern Cuba, as the revolutionary ideals, policies, and divisions created during this time persist into the present day. The next chapter will explore Cuba's role in global conflicts, the deepening Cold War alliances, and the cultural transformation under Castro's rule. Chapter 10. The Revolution Expands, Cuba's Role in Global Conflicts, 1965-1980. Introduction. Cuba's Shift to Internationalism. By the mid-1960s, Cuba had solidified itself as a revolutionary socialist state under Fidel Castro's leadership. The island, once the playground of American corporations and the mafia, had now become the beacon of anti-imperialism and Marxist ideology in the Western Hemisphere. However, Castro's ambitions extended beyond Cuba's borders. The Cuban Revolution was not merely a nationalistic movement, but part of a larger global struggle against colonialism, imperialism, and capitalism. As Cuba strengthened its alliances with the Soviet Union and other socialist countries, it also became increasingly involved in international conflicts, supporting revolutionary movements across Africa, Latin America, and even Asia. The period between 1965 and 1980 saw Cuba emerge as a major geopolitical player, engaging in both military and ideological battles across the world. Cuba's involvement in Latin American insurgencies. One of the first regions to feel Cuba's revolutionary influence was Latin America. Inspired by Che Guevara's vision of continental revolution, Castro committed resources to support leftist insurgencies in various countries. The Bolivian Campaign, 1966-1967. In 1966, Che Guevara, one of the most iconic figures of the Cuban Revolution, left Cuba to lead a revolutionary movement in Bolivia. His goal was to ignite a socialist uprising that would spread across South America. However, Guevara's campaign faced numerous challenges. Lack of local support. Unlike in Cuba, Guevara failed to gain mass support from local peasants. CIA intervention. The United States provided military aid and training to the Bolivian government to crush the insurgency. Guevara's capture and execution. In October 1967, Guevara was captured by Bolivian forces and executed, marking a significant setback for Cuba's international revolutionary ambitions. Despite Guevara's death, Cuba continued to support Marxist guerrilla movements in countries such as Venezuela, Colombia, and Nicaragua, training fighters, and providing financial assistance. Cuba in Africa, the Angolan Civil War, 1975 to 1991. While Latin America remained a focal point, Cuba's most significant military engagement took place in Africa, particularly in Angola. Why was Cuba involved in Angola? The Angolan Civil War broke out in 1975 following Angola's independence from Portugal. The conflict involved three main factions: MPLA, Popular Movement for the Liberation of Angola, a Marxist-Leninist group supported by the Soviet Union and Cuba; UNITA, National Union for the Total Independence of Angola, backed by the U.S. and apartheid South Africa; FNLA, National Liberation Front of Angola, another anti-communist faction supported by the U.S. and Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Cuban military intervention, 1975 to 1991. In November 1975, Castro launched Operation Carlotta, sending over 36,000 Cuban troops to support the MPLA government against UNITA and South African forces. Cuban soldiers played a crucial role in defending Luanda, the capital, and securing key strategic positions. The conflict escalated into a Cold War proxy war, with the United States and South Africa supporting UNITA, while the Soviet Union and Cuba backed the MPLA. The Battle of Cuitacuanavale, 1987 to 1988, was a decisive engagement where Cuban forces successfully pushed back the South African military, contributing to the eventual withdrawal of South African troops from Angola and Namibia. Cuba's intervention in Angola cemented its reputation as a defender of Third World socialism, but it also came at a heavy price. Thousands of Cuban soldiers lost their lives, and the economic burden further strained Cuba's already fragile economy. The Ethiopian-Somali War, 1977 to 1978. Cuba's African engagements were not limited to Angola. In 1977, the country became involved in the Ogaden War between Ethiopia and Somalia. Somalia, under Siad Barre, attempted to annex the Ogaden region from Ethiopia. Ethiopia's leader, Mengistu Haile Mariam, turned to Cuba and the Soviet Union for support. In response, Cuba deployed 17,000 troops to assist Ethiopia, leading to a decisive victory against Somalia in 1978. Cuba's military presence in Africa showcased its commitment to supporting socialist governments, but it also demonstrated its growing dependence on Soviet military aid and financial backing. Cuban medical and educational diplomacy. Beyond military interventions, Cuba expanded its global influence through medical and educational diplomacy. During this period, thousands of Cuban doctors and teachers were sent to developing nations, particularly in Africa and Latin America, providing healthcare and literacy programs. Cuba's Latin American School of Medicine, ELAM, trained doctors from impoverished regions, strengthening its humanitarian reputation. Programs such as Operation Milagro helped thousands of visually impaired individuals regain their sight through free eye surgeries. These efforts were part of Cuba's soft power strategy, aimed at fostering goodwill among socialist-leaning nations and countering U.S. influence. Impact on Cuban society and economy. While Cuba projected strength abroad, economic hardships and internal dissent grew at home. Dependency on Soviet aid. By the late 1970s, Cuba relied heavily on subsidies from the Soviet Union, particularly in the form of cheap oil and trade agreements. Political repression. Dissidents faced imprisonment, censorship increased, and the government intensified surveillance on potential counter-revolutionaries. Limited consumer goods. The focus on military and ideological expansion left Cuba struggling with shortages in food, medicine, and consumer goods. Conclusion: a global revolutionary force with internal struggles. By 1980, Cuba had established itself as a key player in Cold War geopolitics, demonstrating both military might and humanitarian outreach. However, its economic dependence on the Soviet Union, combined with growing social discontent, foreshadowed future challenges. In the next chapter, we will explore Cuba's economic struggles in the 1980s, the collapse of the Soviet Union, and the devastating effects of the special period in the 1990s. Chapter 11: The Economic Struggles and the Special Period, 1980 to 2000. Introduction: Cuba's Economic Decline. As Cuba entered the 1980s, it remained deeply reliant on the Soviet Union for economic support. The centralized economy, dependent on sugar exports, Soviet subsidies, and preferential trade agreements, functioned as long as Moscow provided economic aid. However, by the late 1980s, global shifts, including the decline of the Soviet Union, would plunge Cuba into one of the worst economic crises in its history, the special period. The era from 1980 to 2000 was marked by severe economic hardships, food shortages, and social unrest, pushing Cuba to implement economic reforms, tourism expansion, and new diplomatic strategies to survive. Cuba's economy in the 1980s, a fragile system. During the early 1980s, Cuba maintained a strong relationship with the Soviet Union, allowing the government to sustain its socialist model. Sugar exports were sold at inflated prices to the USSR, and Cuba received cheap oil, machinery, and financial credits in return. The government expanded healthcare, education, and social programs, providing free services to the population. However, cracks began to show. Inefficiencies in state-run industries. Agricultural production was heavily centralized, leading to waste and mismanagement. Over-reliance on a single export, sugar, any market fluctuation in the global sugar industry could devastate Cuba's economy. High levels of debt. Cuba borrowed heavily from Soviet allies, accumulating economic burdens. The fall of the Soviet Union and its impact on Cuba, 1989 to 1991. The Soviet Union, Cuba's main economic lifeline, collapsed in 1991, triggering the most severe economic crisis in modern Cuban history. The abrupt loss of Soviet aid led to an 80% reduction in trade, severe oil shortages, which crippled industries and transportation, declines in food production, causing widespread hunger, power blackouts lasting up to 16 hours a day. This period, known as the special period in times of peace, was marked by extreme austerity measures, forcing the Cuban government to rethink its economic policies and survival strategies. The special period, daily life and hardships, 1991 to 2000. During the special period, the Cuban population endured unprecedented hardships. Food rationing. The government implemented strict rationing programs, but food supplies remained scarce. Malnutrition. The average Cuban diet decreased significantly, and diseases related to vitamin deficiencies increased. Public transportation collapse. Due to fuel shortages, horse-drawn carriages, bicycles, and oxen-driven carts became common. Energy crisis. Power outages became routine, affecting both industries and daily life. Despite the crisis, the Cuban government sought alternative solutions. Urban agriculture. Citizens were encouraged to grow food in urban areas to combat shortages. Tourism expansion. The government legalized tourism and foreign investments, seeking much-needed revenue from international visitors. Dollarization. In 1993, the U.S. dollar was legalized, creating a dual-currency economy where those with foreign currency had greater access to goods. Foreign investment. Joint ventures with foreign companies in industries like hotels, mining, and biotechnology were permitted. Mass migration. The 1994 Balsero crisis. Economic hardship fueled waves of migration. The most dramatic event occurred in 1994, when thousands of Cubans attempted to flee the island on makeshift rafts in what became known as the Balsero crisis. Many perished at sea, while others were intercepted by the U.S. Coast Guard. The exodus prompted the United States and Cuba to negotiate the 1995 U.S.-Cuba Migration Agreement, which set a cap on Cuban immigration and introduced the controversial wet-foot, dry-foot policy, allowing Cubans who reached U.S. soil to stay while those caught at sea were returned. Survival through resilience and innovation. Despite the turmoil, Cuba adapted. Biotechnology and healthcare exports. The Cuban government invested heavily in biotech, creating vaccines and medical treatments that were exported internationally. Alternative energy and local solutions. Energy shortages led to the promotion of solar energy and sustainable agricultural techniques. Cultural resilience. Art, music, and literature flourished despite economic hardships, becoming symbols of Cuban endurance. Pope John Paul II's visit in 1998. A major turning point in Cuban diplomacy came with Pope John Paul II's historic visit to Cuba in 1998. The visit opened dialogue between the Cuban government and the Catholic Church, leading to the release of political prisoners and a renewed focus on religious freedom in the country. The legacy of the special period. By the year 2000, Cuba had not fully recovered, but it had survived one of its most grueling economic crises. The era left behind a mixed economic model. While Cuba remained socialist, market-oriented reforms had been introduced. increased inequality. Those with access to dollars or remittances from abroad had a better quality of life than those relying solely on state wages. A change in Cuban-U.S. relations. While diplomatic ties remained tense, economic and migration negotiations had created some avenues for engagement. Conclusion: a nation in transition. The special period tested Cuba's resilience, adaptability, and survival skills. As the island moved into the 21st century, it faced new challenges, including how to balance socialist ideals with economic realities. In the next chapter, we will explore Cuba in the 21st century, 2000 to 2020, the transition from Fidel to Raúl Castro, new economic reforms, and evolving diplomatic relations with the United States and the global community. Chapter 12, Cuba in the 21st Century, the transition from Fidel to Raúl and beyond, 2000 to 2020. Introduction, entering a new millennium. As Cuba entered the 21st century, the island nation stood at a crossroads. After enduring the special period of economic hardship in the 1990s, Cuba sought to stabilize its economy while maintaining its socialist principles. The dawn of the 2000s saw the country grappling with internal reforms, shifting diplomatic relations, and the eventual transition of leadership from Fidel Castro to his brother, Raúl Castro. From economic experiments and increased global engagement to diplomatic breakthroughs and social transformations, the period from 2000 to 2020 was a defining era in Cuban history. Fidel Castro's final years in power, 2000 to 2006. At the start of the 21st century, Fidel Castro remained a dominant figure in Cuban politics. Despite his advanced age, he continued to promote socialist policies while maintaining tight control over Cuba's political structure. Key events during these years included strengthened relations with Venezuela. With the election of Hugo Chavez in Venezuela in 1999, Cuba gained a new economic partner. The two nations formed a close alliance, leading to Cuba receiving subsidized oil in exchange for sending doctors and teachers to Venezuela. Tourism growth and economic adjustments. Recognizing the need for foreign exchange, the Cuban government expanded its tourism sector, attracting visitors from Europe, Canada, and Latin America. Crackdown on dissent. 2003, in what became known as the Black Spring, the Cuban government arrested 75 dissidents, including journalists and human rights activists, leading to international condemnation. Deteriorating U.S.-Cuba relations. During the presidency of George W. Bush, 2001 to 2009, tensions between the United States and Cuba worsened. The Bush administration tightened the U.S. embargo, restricted remittances, and limited travel to the island. The transition of power, Raúl Castro takes over, 2006 to 2011. On July 31, 2006, Fidel Castro fell gravely ill and temporarily transferred power to his brother, Raúl Castro. The transition was later made permanent when Fidel formally stepped down as president in 2008. This marked the first leadership change in Cuba in nearly 50 years. Raúl, though committed to preserving Cuba's socialist foundations, initiated several key reforms. Agricultural reforms. The government allowed farmers to lease state land for private use, aiming to boost food production. Decentralization of state enterprises. Raúl encouraged greater autonomy for state-run businesses to improve efficiency. Expanded private sector. Small private businesses, including restaurants, paladas, and rental homes, casas particulares, were legalized and expanded. The Obama era and the thaw in U.S.-Cuba relations, 2009 to 2017. The election of Barack Obama in 2008 brought a shift in U.S.-Cuba relations. Seeking to end decades of hostility, the Obama administration pursued diplomatic engagement. Restoration of diplomatic ties. 2014, the U.S. and Cuba agreed to reopen embassies in Havana and Washington, D.C., marking a historic moment. Relaxation of travel and trade restrictions. Americans were allowed to visit Cuba under expanded categories, and direct commercial flights resumed. High-profile visits. In March 2016, Obama became the first sitting U.S. president to visit Cuba since 1928. Cultural exchanges. American artists, musicians, and athletes were welcomed in Cuba, symbolizing an era of greater openness. Despite these diplomatic strides, the U.S. embargo remained in place, and opposition from hardliners in both nations hindered full normalization. The death of Fidel Castro and its impact, 2016. On November 25, 2016, Fidel Castro passed away at the age of 90. His death marked the end of an era, as Cuba officially transitioned into a post-Fidel landscape. While many Cubans mourned his passing, others, particularly in the Cuban exile community in Miami, celebrated the end of his rule. Raúl Castro continued governing, emphasizing economic pragmatism while maintaining firm control over political dissent. Challenges and reforms under Raúl Castro, 2017 to 2018. In 2018, Raúl Castro stepped down from the presidency, handing power to Miguel Díaz-Canel, marking the first time in nearly six decades that a non-Castro led the country. Key developments included: new constitution, 2019, a referendum approved a new Cuban constitution, recognizing private property and foreign investment while reaffirming socialism as irreversible. Economic stagnation. Despite reforms, Cuba continued to suffer from low productivity, dependence on Venezuelan aid, and declining exports. Internet expansion. The Cuban government expanded Wi-Fi access and mobile internet, increasing social media use and public dissent. Trump administration and the return of U.S. sanctions, 2017 to 2021. Under President Donald Trump, U.S.-Cuba relations deteriorated once again. Reversal of Obama-era engagement. Trump reinstated travel restrictions, imposed new sanctions on Cuban businesses, and tightened the economic embargo. U.S. allegations of sonic attacks. Mysterious illnesses among U.S. diplomats in Havana led to the withdrawal of embassy staff and the halting of visa services. Crackdown on Cuban medical missions. The U.S. pressured Latin American nations to end Cuban medical exchange programs. Conclusion: Cuba at a crossroads, 2020 and beyond. As Cuba entered the 2020s, the nation faced major economic, political, and social challenges. Aging leadership. The transition away from the Castro era raised questions about the future direction of the revolution. Economic hardships. The COVID-19 pandemic, U.S. sanctions, and internal inefficiencies worsened financial struggles. Increasing public dissent. Protests such as the San Isidro movement and July 11, 2021 demonstrations reflected growing frustrations among Cubans, particularly among the youth. Despite these obstacles, Cuba continued to adapt, reform, and resist external pressures, maintaining its unique place in global politics. In the next chapter, we will explore Cuba's post-2020 era, analyzing how the island navigates new geopolitical shifts, economic strategies, and social transformations in an evolving world.